Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
The Entrepreneur Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined, curriculum-based track to acquire essential knowledge and skills for success in business and leadership. Critical areas include identifying entrepreneurial characteristics, selecting a value position, and business model development. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
National headlines and the local stories you care about. WLBB, Carrollton, News Talk, 1330, FM 106.3.
Good morning, welcome to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Gradick, your host. Delighted to have you with us on this beautiful morning. We're very pleased, honored, and delighted, and because we have in studio Tyler Paul Smith. He's a state representative from the legendary 18th District. Good morning, Tyler.
Good morning.
Let me get you a little closer to that mic. There you go. Okay, that's good. All right, for those who don't know, Tyler Paul Smith is a member of the Georgia House of Representatives, representing the 18th District. He assumed office in January 11, 2021. And I didn't check with you before the program, so I've got your committee assignments here. Tell me if I'm right or wrong, because they do change every so often. You're on the Insurance Committee, House Judiciary Committee, Judiciary Non-Civil Committee, where you're chairman.
That's correct.
Okay, and Juvenile Justice Committee. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And Small Business Development Committee.
You covered them all.
And so you're busy.
It is always a busy time with that amount of committees to be serving on. I appreciate the opportunity to work on each one of those committees. Of course, judiciary non-civil keeps us fairly busy. And as far as ranking the number of the committees in which that I'm the busiest, it would be judiciary non-civil, judiciary, then the Insurance Committee, Juvenile Justice, and Small Business Committee. So a lot of times it's a huge challenge because all of our committees sometimes meet at the same time. And it creates a challenge for not only the members of the committee, but the chairman running those committees. It's always a question of whether you're going to have a quorum or not. So we've tried to alleviate those issues with scheduling conflicts and make sure that we have standard times that we meet, which has really helped us in vetting legislation that we need to.
So it's not just 40 days during the session?
No. 40 days is spaced across 3 months. Years ago, though, they were usually able to get out in early March because they would go in and burn 2 days off the calendar each weekend. They would gavel in, gavel out. No legislative business would be taken up. And it was really pro forma, but those were 2 days every week that were just taken off the calendar. So I know that this schedule that we've had has been set within the first couple of weeks for the last two sessions. That, in everyone's recent knowledge and those that have been there for a while, they could not remember two sessions in a row where we knew the end date within the first couple of weeks of session. So I commend the Speaker and House leadership on that.
We get to continue with the resume real quick, or the bio. Tyler Paul Smith earned a BA in political science from the Citadel and his law degree from John Marshall Law School. His career experience work is working as associate attorney, but now a full partner with the Perrion Law Firm, which has offices in Carrollton and Bremen. However, let me see if I can get this to come back like it was. Oh, no. There we go. His biggest claim to fame is he was voted last year as one of the best-dressed legislators by the Atlanta Journal-Constitutional. Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
That's a high honor. Now, the quote here is your fashion inspiration. Quote, my inspiration comes from both my mother and my grandmother. They were both seamstresses. Where did they work?
At Hubbard's and Sewell's for a little while, but primarily Hubbard's.
In my 20s, it was more of a loud and power tie type of dress, but now I trend a little more conservative, unquote.
That is correct.
Okay, now your fashion tip, and then we'll get into legislation in a minute, is, quote, always, 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 though whether it's a full suit or a blazer, you have to have a pocket square. Without a pocket square, I feel completely naked. I have always recommended that anybody that has a full suit on, you need that pocket square. It makes it elegant, unquote.
That sums it up very correctly.
That's
Steve.
Very profound.
That was a lot of fun. very honored, especially when you look at the individuals that are included in that list. I'll have to say, when you represent the old clothing capital of the South, in Bremen, you have to make sure that you represent the area proudly, which not only Bremen, but all over the West Georgia area.
Bowden,
even
too.
Bowden.
Oh,
even
absolutely, Bowden.
The storied Sewell Trophy that was swapped back and forth. So I don't know if I think it's been back down in Bowden for a while, but
yeah,
I think
2 years.
I was a sophomore in the team that helped bring that trophy back to Bremen after 20 years. And so,
yeah, I remember that. It had been a long, long time. Yeah. Well, just for a point of reference, if this all be true, then I have been naked my entire life because I have never worn a pocket square.
Never too late to start.
Well, we'll see. All right, let's jump in. 2024. What kind of session was it? What things really stuck out in your mind?
Well, it was election year session, which is different than a non-election year session. Usually everyone's ready to get back home and go back to politics, and those members that may have opposition in the primary, for instance. You have about a month and a half between the end of session and the primary general election. So it was a fast-paced session. Thankfully, we were able to work on some legislative policy measures before session even started, which, as you'll recall, we had a special redistricting session late last year, and so it took a three-month session and made it feel almost as if it was a five-month session due to the very short interval in between the special session and the general session. But our committee, as you know, Steve, we have a two-year biennium. And so legislation, even if it were not to pass the first session, it's still alive for the second session. And I was running the numbers late yesterday evening. We had 117 bills, roughly, that were assigned to the Judiciary Non-Civil Committee. And if my math serves me right, we only had right around 30 bills which were actually passed and signed by the governor. So the crucible, which everyone is aware of, that Judiciary Non-Civil prides itself on, to get a bill through our committee up to the Rules Committee, that is a very, very tough hill to actually achieve and to crest.
Elaborate on that real quickly, a little more, because the Rules Committee, if you don't get through the Rules Committee, you don't get on the floor.
That's correct.
So if you don't go through your committee, you don't get to the Rules Committee?
If you have a bill that is assigned to Judiciary Non-Civil Committee, you have to pass our committee first before you even get to the Rules Committee, which is the gatekeeper to the House floor. And just so everyone's aware of, different committees operate differently. It's really a preference of the chairman. Some chairmen use the subcommittee process. Some do not. Some, for instance, Judiciary Civil Committee, which Judge Stan Gunner chairs. He's from up in Northeast Georgia and a good friend, a good mentor. His committee meets in full. We do have official subcommittees that are divided throughout the committee with different members. However, we use the full committee in Judiciary Civil. Judiciary Non-Civil is a little bit different. I have two subcommittees. Thankfully, I have great subcommittee chairmen that help us in vetting this process. So by the time that it gets to the full committee, most of the issues have been vetted. However, we will make sure that we still give it the thorough going through. Thankfully, the subcommittee process helps refine those pieces of legislation. Committee meetings can go on anywhere from 30 minutes to, I think one time we had about a 6 to 7 hour committee meeting. And so that is a thorough debate for those that are listening in this morning that haven't ever had the joy of attending in person or watching online. It is a thorough vetting of the legislation. We don't always get it right. For instance, we had a couple of bills that they sent back down to us that we vetted some issues, and we were thankful to have the opportunity to correct those issues. And that's just a testament to our committee and being able to do a quick turnaround on these issues. Thankfully, when we had a bill that was sent back to us from the Rules Committee, there were only one or two issues that needed to be addressed. And I'll have to credit the members of our committee. It's not a dictatorship in a committee. The committee members, you cannot, as chairman, just tell them, you have to vote for this or you have to vote against this. The committee members were made up of, I believe we were down to 19 with a actual appointment of one member to the judicial bench over in Augusta, but we have 19 members. Those are 19 House districts that are varied in what their constituents want to see happen and what their representatives have to come and actually represent.
Well, now that you're, I was going to ask you about this later, but let's just briefly mention this. Last week we had James Camp on from GA2A, and he referenced a Senate Bill 36, I believe it was, that got through your committee, but I understand y'all addressed that Second Amendment issue. And
yes, it was either the next legislative day. I want to say it was a weekend. Thankfully, my good friend Jerry Henry, he's been a friend for a long time, ever since I was a legislative aide back in the last decade. Jerry and I had a good, thorough discussion, which it didn't really take too long to discuss. Jerry brought it to my attention, and the next available legislative day, we held a committee hearing and stripped that language out. It's as easy as that.
Okay.
And so I would make sure that we note that we did the right thing and stripped that legislation out once it was brought to our attention. And so that's the great thing about committee work. I know different times that we meet, a lot of times you may have to call an 8 a.m. meeting. I know members are usually a little groggy then, but it's nothing that some good biscuits and coffee can't get everybody fired up.
Of a lot of things. Okay, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with more with State Representative Tyler Paul Smith of the 18th District. But first, these words.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
Oak Mountain Academy is an innovative school of academic excellence celebrating over 61 years. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to join us on the mountain to see our mission and vision in action. Academic excellence, a faith-based environment, and dynamic opportunities are just a few of the reasons our families choose Oak Mountain Academy. Academic scholarships and tuition assistance are available. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Graddick, your host. We're delighted to have you with us. We're also on Facebook Live this morning. So if you'd like to post any questions or comments there, preferably questions. Anyway, let's start off with some legislation. We can't forget that the 18th District in the beautiful West Georgia area is predominantly agricultural in a lot of senses. And so what kind of agriculture legislation applies this year?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Steve. We actually introduced House Bill 827 toward the end of the 2023 session on purpose. I had sat down with Chairman Robert Dickey from Mosella, Georgia. He is the preeminent peach grower in our caucus and a good friend and fraternity brother, too, I might add. But Chairman Dickey and I had talked about the issue of the theft of livestock in our state. I knew that back last decade there was some legislation introduced by Chairman Clay Perkle from down in Ashburn, Georgia, who I had the fortune of working for. He's retiring this year. We'll miss him very much. But there was some legislation introduced about proof of ownership when someone brought cattle to the auction barn. making sure that someone wasn't just showing up with somebody's cattle that they didn't own and trying to sell that amount of cattle and receive payment for that when it was basically they'd committed cattle rustling or theft of livestock. And so we thought that based on the history of the statute, it hadn't been updated in a while. And so
When was it originally?
It had to have been back in the 80s was the most recent I could find on legislative history. Thankfully, we have a good team in legislative council that can look that information up. And so we saw it was right around the mid-80s, I want to say was the last time this had been addressed. And so thankfully, we had a good deal of support. Commissioner Tyler Harper, a good friend of mine, he backed the legislation. Georgia Cattlemen Association backed the legislation. What you're seeing, and I think it bears out now when you go to the grocery store especially, with the war in Ukraine going on, we saw that the price of fertilizer had rose exponentially. So now the cost to the consumer is finally being realized. And although we had reports of stolen cattle back in the last decade, we knew that we were primed to undergo that same situation here with rising food prices, not just cattle. You have chickens, hogs, and even produce out of the field. But this specifically dealt with livestock theft, and we thought that moving these penalties up, maximum fine to $10,000, because you're trying to think, you have theft of a cow-calf pair, you're looking at least $3,000 to $4,000 depending on the stock. If you have a good seed bull that's actually stolen out of the field, I mean, you're looking at some of these good bulls that could be at the very minimum $20,000. And so trying to make sure that we had a good deterrent in place for those and hopefully prevent this theft. Also, House Bill 827, upon request of Commissioner Harper, they had a issue arise in South Georgia of where a processing plant was actually a front for an illegal pot growing operation. Chinese nationals were actually running what was purported to be a meat processing plant. They were growing, I can't remember what the street value was. I think it was at least $10 million in street value of this illegal pot growing operation. And so the Department of Agriculture has some law enforcement or arrest authority within statute, but it wasn't very clear. And so to make sure that technicality would not prevent a case from going forward, we thought that we needed to give them more authority within the Agriculture Department to actually investigate agricultural criminal activity that's going on, such as that very instance down in South Georgia with the illegal meat processing plant. So actually not diverting resources from our local law enforcement agencies to resolve these issues. This allows the Department of Agriculture to actually go in with the knowledge that they have with all things related to agriculture and to make sure that folks are obeying the law and not trying to skirt it.
Well, I'll use that as my segue to talking about immigration, since 30,000 Chinese so far have come across the border, the open border. And for the last several programs, I've mentioned to both Candidate Dugan and Candidate Jack about immigration. What did the House do this year as far as immigration and tightening in on it and giving Governor Kemp support to assist in closing the southern border?
Well, I'll give credit. Chairman Petrie, Jesse Petrie, from down around the Savannah-Chatham area, had a very good bill as far as the reporting of those illegal immigrants that have came into the communities here in the state of Georgia and making sure that law enforcement actually report those illegal immigrants to ICE. And so Chairman Petrie had championed this issue for a long time, and unfortunately with the death of Miss Lakin Riley over at the University of Georgia, this really spurred the move to actually pass this legislation. I'd actually sat down with Chairman Petrie. This is something that not many people may know. If you're an attorney who happens to be in a legislature, you do most of your free legal work with other legislators who come by and want to see what you think about their legislation. I had a chance to sit down, read over the legislation with Chairman Petrie, and made sure that I pointed out a couple of constitutional concerns that he was very graciously corrected and made sure that the bill was a lot better by the time it hit the House floor. And so that legislation requires for the local law enforcement agencies, specifically the jails, to report these illegal immigrants that they detain, to report those to ICE. Now, under the current administration, it's still a little iffy as to whether ICE is going to actually do something. I've met with different agents from ICE, and those individuals can only commend them with the highest accolades. However, with the current administration, for our law to be fully realized here in the state of Georgia, which is really a reporting requirement, which also provides for penalties if they do not report these individuals to ICE, I think November will be the bellwether as to whether we see the true fruits of what this legislation intends to do. So the House Republican Caucus took a firm stand that we are welcome to anyone coming to our country, but we want to make sure it's done legally and the right way.
I believe it was that House Bill 1105 that you've been speaking of.
Memory survives.
I think that's correct. Yes. Sounds good. Okay, let's take another break, and we've got more legislation we want to talk about, important legislation with Tyler Paul Smith, after these words.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
The AP Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined advanced placement curriculum track to earn a series of distinctions upon graduation. This journey enables academically prepared students to pursue college-level studies throughout 17 AP courses in 5 subject categories while enrolled at OMA. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Graddick, your host. Delighted to have you with us. We're very pleased to have in studio Tyler Paul Smith of the 18th District, State Representative. And understand there's a piece of legislation passed that is going to protect young children online, a social media protection bill, and pornography age verification that could be significant. I believe you have to, kids need parental permission under 16. Are you somewhat familiar with that legislation?
Yes, there was another companion piece of legislation dealing with the AI portion of this as well.
Right.
But the emphasis of both pieces of legislation was really to make sure that our minors are not taken advantage of online. Everyone's really familiar with the pitfalls of social media, especially with minors, and the cyberbullying that occurs. And so part of this way is to make sure that specifically minors' images are not taken online or put online without the parents' permission and used for very nefarious purposes. I mean, we saw some very, very absolutely evil things being done with children's images all across the country. And so here in the state of Georgia, we wanted to be proactive and make sure that those predators and those just absolutely evil individuals that would take a minor's image and fix it upon something that's just should not be viewed at all from happening in our state. And so committing lewd acts with a minor's image there, it's just, you see this even at the middle school level. I mean, you hear reports of, you know, kids and what they can do with technology that when I was growing up, we did not have that. It's a different world due to the social media platforms that are out there. And so this makes sure that parents are still given the power to make sure that their child's image is not posted online.
You spoke about being kind of proactive. I don't know if you're familiar with this, but apparently there was legislation that banned the central bank digital currency in the state. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
That most likely went through the Banks and Banking Committee, which I do not sit on. I did hear that there was some legislation enacted with that. I think that not sure whether it actually hit the governor's desk or not. I would assume.
So the governor will sign these pieces, what, July 1st? So...
That's
normally when he signs, right?
The deadline was actually last month for the governor to sign or veto legislation.
Okay.
And so, depending on how the legislation is written, it can be written in two ways, upon the signature of the governor or on July 1st, or at the end of the year. There are several different ways you can craft it, and so... That's a little bit strategic on different members and different pieces of legislation. You have to really think through those things. But most bills will become effective on July the 1st.
Right.
That's to give a little bit of time for all the individuals that have to deal with enacting these laws to make sure that they have the time to implement them.
That's when the news stories come out. We're going to run out of time, but I believe there was a school choice, quote-unquote school choice bill that passed. That gave, I think, $6,000 tuition credit to independent schools.
Yes, that legislation, compared to what it was before, was really fixed in a much better fashion. That legislation, we took a long, hard look at it, and it should not affect our schools here in West Georgia. We have the best public schools in the whole state of Georgia, and I can only commend them more and more as we go along. I don't really have enough words to commend them enough at the great job that they've done. I'm a product of those schools, but this legislation will help those in the worst parts of our state. You go to South Georgia, it is really ground zero, not to mention Fulton County. But I think this legislation, in its narrow and limited scope, will not take money out of our public schools, and it shouldn't. As long as our public schools are still doing the job that they've done for so many years now, they shouldn't have to worry about it.
The concern with that, again, just briefly, because there's a lot of things I want to talk about, is the kid in the urban environment with a failing school, not a West Georgia school, but a failing school. What if anything is the solution for that?
Well, we hope that Senate Bill 233 will help to address those issues. You know, really, Fulton County, DeKalb, and some of the other metro areas, there are so many issues that just continue to compile and makes the problem even more complex. And so I think really there's going to come a time, unless they can get things right, which I always hold out hope that they will. I'm not going to try to down them and not give them a chance, but I think that the time's fast coming where the state may have to look at going in and correcting these issues with drastic measures. What those measures are, I would say that the House Education Committee Chairman, Mr. Chris Irwin, I believe that he will be the right one for the job in helping to address those issues. But a lot of times we have to see if what we intend for good policy to accomplish, we have to see if it's actually implemented and accomplishes a legislative goal.
Kind of somewhat related, our neighboring state of Alabama back in March passed a bill that prohibited DEI being established in Alabama colleges, universities, and K through 12 schools. Mm-hmm. And so the DEI offices and colleges now, this came to my attention because of Jack State, have been eliminated. Is there anything on the drawing board for Georgia?
I know that the Board of Regents has been discussing a lot of these issues with DEI. I know from a legislative standpoint, those of us in the Republican caucus, are really viewing these DEI initiatives with a whole lot of suspicion, because what DEI is supposed to be and what it's actually being implemented are two different things. And so I think on the legislative side, I can't speak for everyone, but I can speak for myself that I view these DEI initiatives as being very suspicious. And, you know, what are they actually pushing? Are they virtue signaling, or are they going back to actually what I would say that Dr. King espoused the best, is making sure that we judge the content of one's character and not the color of their skin. So
one story that every year comes up, it seems to have a meteoric rise in the news, and then it falls by the wayside, which is sports gambling. And part of that is, I understand there are a lot of lobbyists involved with that issue. Where are we under the Gold Dome with that?
I believe day 40, if memory serves me correct, they had a committee hearing that they actually passed the legislation out of committee, and it simply never got to the floor. My understanding was that they did not have the votes to bring it to the floor. And so when you have a whip count that is done, that will tell you where you're at as far as the numbers and, you know, at least the Republican caucus. I don't know how the Democrat caucus, I was told that the Democrat caucus was split on it as well, but the Republican caucus, I was told, didn't have more than 50 or 60 votes. Yes, so I don't know if they'll bring it back next year. They always seem to bring it back. There's always a debate as to whether it's going to be the online gambling, basically your DraftKings, those sort of mediums, or whether you're going to actually have casinos and what's going to benefit the state more or not. The argument with casinos is that that actually creates jobs, not only in the construction, but those that actually work there at those locations. And so there's always a fight between those two, and I don't think the two factions, if you will, that's why there's so many lobbyists. You have some that are for the sports betting and some that are for the casinos and some for both, and I think that trying to get those two horses to go in the right direction or the same direction, that seems to be their issue, but they just simply didn't have the votes to get it to the floor.
Well, we kind of started off with agriculture, so let's wrap it up with agriculture. I understand House Bill 1883, Georgia Farmstead Exemption Act, passed. So that, let's see, I've got that somewhere. That creates a statewide homestead exemption from ad valorem taxes for the full value of a homestead used for agricultural purposes, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. What we're seeing, and we see it even here in the West Georgia area, the small farms, which make up the majority of our farms here in the West Georgia area, they are quickly going by the wayside. You see centuries-old farms that are being sold and developed into housing. And so I know that we need more housing, but making sure that we give these landowners a way to not be taxed to death by local political subdivisions. We're trying to save the agricultural identity that we have while still allowing for growth. It's a tough, tough balance to maintain. But what you see is a lot of these small farm owners, for generations, their families have carried the burden for a lot of the tax base by paying those property taxes. And what we're seeing is a lot of times they're being driven out. Used to, you could harvest the timber on the property and cover your property taxes for the period leading up until you harvested the next round of trees, and so, which is mainly pine, navel stores here in the state. And so this is an effort by the legislature to give those small farms a chance to survive, because without it, it'll cease to exist. I mean, we are right at the middle of it here in North Georgia.
Representative Huddleston brought in four students from the Future Farmers of America first show a few weeks back, which still on our website, and so the idea there that the way to preserve agricultural land and farming is to grow up a crop of young farmers and young students who are interested in agriculture.
I agree wholeheartedly, and thankfully I want to commend Representative Huddleston and Jay Collins. They have been the best delegation to work with. We'll still have David. We're really going to miss Representative Collins. All of us understand the need for teaching that next generation of farmers and making sure that we pass down knowledge that is quickly being lost to posterity, and making sure that ag education is fully funded in our areas and making sure that they have those opportunities to work in agriculture here in the West Georgia area.
We've got a guy at my church who just graduated from Abraham Baldwin Agricultural College,
right,
and he's looking at a good long full career. I mean, it's still what, the number one, number two industry in Georgia?
Number one industry in the state of Georgia. I mean, where we're located, you just drive 3 minutes and you'll hit a cattle farm or a chicken farm.
And that's the beauty about where we live.
Indeed it is.
If people want to get in touch with you, or if they need some fashion tips, how should they go about contacting you?
Just give me a call myself, 678-378-3700. 8177.
Oh, boy. All right. Are you going to be in any magazines, on the covers of any magazines?
No, hopefully not. But I, it was a real honor to be named one of those, and I'll have to give credit to my mother and grandmother.
Yeah. Well, that's neat. You know, Hubbard's and Sewell. We had Warren Sewell and Sewell Manufacturing. One of the best programs I had when we had Robin Worley on recently.
Yes, sir. Robin did a good job making sure the industry survived.
Yeah, the museum is great in Bremen. And I think if more people understood that heritage, we'd be in a better position to preserve West Georgia as we love it.
They would, and I'll give a plug for Sewell. They still sell suits.
That's right.
So go buy one.
That's right. And in fact, the last one I bought was there. But it doesn't have this, you know, it's still, I don't have the accessories like you do. All right. Well, thank you. Tyler Paul Smith, state representative of the 18th District, once served by the late, great Thomas B. Murphy. And I got to interview him for close to a decade. So a lot of memories there. Thank you for listening. Go out and make it a great day. You're in tune to WLBB Carrollton.